You're listening to Equip Season 4, Your Life on Mission. This is Episode 4, What Evangelism Isn't, with Sarah Sloan.
We have been talking about the beauty of God's mission to share the good news of the gospel throughout the world, how God created us, He loves us, how He sent His Son to die for us, and then how He's called us to be a part of that. Today, we're going to talk about how that is part of our everyday lives. Before we get started doing that, I would love to just pray and ask God to be part of this time with us. God, thank you for this beautiful mission that you have. Thank you for your invitation to us to be a part of that. God, I thank you for each person in this room, each person who is a part of our church family, and the strategic places that you have placed us to be able to talk about you and share who you are with others. Be with us today as we talk about that and try to learn more about how we can just make talking about you part of every part of our life. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about what this actually looks like. Hopefully at this point, you're on board with the idea that God has asked me to be part of His mission. This is something He's called me to, but maybe that feels scary. Maybe it just feels ambiguous. Like, how do I actually go about doing that? I was thinking a lot about my younger self. I grew up in church. I have loved God for a really long time, been a Christian a really long time. And at some point as a teenager, I started understanding faith a little more, getting opportunities to serve, to share. And I felt this huge like call to do ministry. I really want to do ministry. And I kind of feel like ever since then, God has been showing me and teaching me that that didn't necessarily have to be a certain job. It didn't have to be a certain place that I lived, that is part of me in whatever season of life that He's called me to, whatever place He has put me in. And I think that's what we want to talk about today, is who we are, where God has put us, and what does that look like for us to live out mission in our life every single day. So when we're thinking about how to do something, I feel like it's helpful to start with Jesus. We can look at Him, look at His life, His ministry, learn from Him as a starting place. So I'm gonna get you guys to help me with that. If we think about Jesus, one huge part of Jesus is that He came here to earth and He was with us. He was present with us. While He was present here on earth, what are things that He did? What are things you remember about His life here? I feel like there's a lot of answers.
Where do we start?
Give some examples.
He taught.
Okay. People.
He also healed people. Mm-hmm. He was sick. Okay. Fed people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ate with people and spent time with people that weren't like him. Mm-hmm.
Mm. He demonstrated a lot of compassion towards people who were not Jews. Lots of love, lots of compassion.
Mm-hmm. I think he was humble. He didn't force anything to people because he's the Son of God, but instead he invited people in to who he is and to his ministry.
Perfect. Okay, so you guys just gave all the answers. Good work. He healed the sick. He fed people who were hungry. He invited people into His presence. He loved people who were like Him, people who were not like Him. I think if you put all of those things together, we see that Jesus was loving people holistically, like all of who they were. He loved them for who they were. If they had a need, He cared about that need. He wanted to meet that need. He wanted people to be able to be with Him, to share His life with Him. He was hospitable to them. So as we think about sharing the gospel, Jesus did teach. I think Shay said He was teaching. He was talking about Himself. He was talking about who He was, but that wasn't all that He was doing. He was also meeting the needs of the people around Him, listening to them, caring about them. So there's an invitation for us to learn from Him in that. As we are sharing the gospel, we are speaking about Him and we're sharing what is true. But we're also getting to demonstrate what the gospel looks like as we love people and we care for them and we share life with them. There is a lady, her name is Becky Pippert. She's an author, she's a speaker. She likes to help other people learn about sharing their faith. And she says, "We have been given an infinitely credible gospel, and so we must be credible messengers who demonstrate not formulas, not techniques, but authenticity, credibility, and spiritual power." So I really like that she says this is not about formulas and techniques. Yeah. You can have some formulas and techniques if you want to, but that's at the end of the day not what we're talking about. We're not learning a formula of what to say or what to do. The words she uses instead are authenticity, credibility, spiritual power. You know, ultimately, she's talking about the idea that the gospel is not just the words that we are saying, but it's all of our life. The things that we are doing and showing go with the words that we say. Those things are going together as we share with people. So our life is part of our testimony. When I say that, your life is part of your testimony, what does that make you think or feel? What kind of response do you have to that internally?
I think it could be a little intimidating or can feel like there's pressure behind mm-hmm. that to live a certain way. Like I know that that's not true, but I think that's maybe one of my natural responses mm-hmm. is that if people are watching my life and witness, then it has to look a certain way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as I was writing this, that's what I was imagining. That could sound terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be an all-star Christian and do all the right things and do it exactly right before I can tell anybody about Jesus. But if we stop and think about what is it that we are actually telling people about Jesus, what is the gospel? The gospel is that we are sinful, broken people mm-hmm. in desperate need of God. So that doesn't require anything specific from me. I can handle that part. I am broken and sinful and need God. We got that. We're good. So as we're thinking about that, we are learning to be courageous storytellers. Our pastors have defined being a courageous storyteller as using our giftings, our home, our vocation to tell a better story than what our culture has to offer. So we're telling this better story. This better story is not that I need to be perfect. It's not that God is going to make me perfect. It's something completely different than that, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're thinking about sharing, we're thinking about how it could potentially feel scary, perhaps because I'm afraid my life isn't matching what I'm saying. Perhaps mm-hmm. it's because I'm afraid I don't know the right thing to say. There's a story in Acts chapter 4 that I really like. If you all would look it up, I would love for one person to read Acts chapter 4, verse 13. So Peter and John are arrested. They've been brought before the leaders. They've asked them questions. And when we read this in verse 13, they have answered the leaders' questions. And then this is what is said after that. Would one of you be willing to read Acts 4, 13?
Mm-hmm. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Okay, I really like that verse. It says they were uneducated and untrained, but what made what they said powerful? They had been with Jesus. So we have that same power within us. We have been with Jesus. That is what gives our life credibility. That is what gives our words power. We have been with Jesus. That's what's qualifying us to share this with other people. The other beautiful thing about that reality that our life and our words are communicating to other people is that that is not something we do alone. It's not just us and our life communicating that, but we have this corporate witness. Corporate means together. So our brothers and sisters in Christ as a family together sharing. Would someone be willing to read John chapter 13, verse 35?
I can read it.
Okay, thanks.
By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Okay, so they're going to know that we're Jesus' disciples by how we love one another, how we share life together as brothers and sisters in Christ, loving one another, caring for one another, calling one another to repentance. That is a testimony to the people around us of who God is. In my life, one of the best pictures that I have of that was many years ago. My husband was really sick and he had cancer, and we basically lived in a hospital for several months. And during that time, people brought us food every lunch and dinner for months. For a season, he wouldn't eat anything, so people would also bring random things. We're trying to entice him to eat food. So I ended up with this little like counter over on the side of our room, just full of wonderful things, lots of treats and snacks and candy, more than I could ever eat or he could eat. So we could share that with nurses, with doctors, with whoever came in the room, visitors. We had so many people coming in and out to see us, to pray with us, to sing with us. And it was noticeable to the hospital staff. We were there a long time. And there would be a lot of, who are you? Who are these people? Why do they keep bringing you food? What's all this stuff? And it was beautiful to be able to say, these are my brothers and sisters from our church family. They love us and they're here. There were people coming we did not know. They somehow got the sign-up sheet and brought us food. I didn't know them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really close friends now because they stepped in that season that was hard for us. Mm-hmm. But that testimony of the church loving us communicated to an entire floor of a hospital that this is what church is, like people who are Christians love one another. And that was a really powerful testimony. I'm curious if any of you all have stories or examples of ways that the love that we have for one another has been part of yours or someone else's story of coming to know Jesus.
I have a story, maybe not of directly of how someone came to know Jesus, but how I knew that someone was a Christian at work. I work in a hospital, and there was a nurse that was so intentionally loving to this patient that it really caught my attention. And I thought, I think she might be a believer because of the way, you know, we think nurses should always be loving, but they're not always that loving or not always like really attentive. And she offered to braid this woman's hair who was in labor. And so I walked in and she was in the middle of braiding her hair. And it just really like kind of caught me off guard. And the way that she was doing it, and like while she was doing it, she was like asking her questions about her life and like just encouraging her and how she was doing in her labor and all this. And I said, I think this nurse is a Christian. And I ended up, you know, we stepped outside of the room at one point and I just asked her, like, are you a believer? I said, maybe this is a weird question, but are you a believer? She was like, yeah. I said, I could just see the love of Jesus in you. And it, and we both like got emotional about that. And that was really encouraging to her, but it just felt like a really like tangible example of like love that she had for this patient.
That's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's a neat story.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a story of someone coming to Christ.
Or
maybe it's more of an encouragement or someone being encouraged when they were in a low place and they couldn't hear God. I just remember, I'll share a story, a personal story. So my daughter was going through cancer. And I had never seen this woman before. And she, you know, she stopped me and invited me, you know, just told me her name. And, you know, I was at a church. And I don't know, maybe she just felt or thought that there was something going on with me. And she stopped me. She introduced herself. And I don't know why. I just blurted out what was going on because it's typically not who I am. And so she just encouraged me through prayer, asked my daughter's name, and said she'd be praying for her. And it really stuck out to me because she stopped me and she saw me, you know, in whatever I look like. Mm-hmm. And so, and then not only after weeks, she just, you know, asked me periodically, how's things going, how things doing. Mm-hmm. And that for me was God affirming that, you know, she wasn't necessarily just, she also mentioned that she'd be praying for my daughter, but she saw me as a mom and what I was going through. Mm-hmm. So she told me she would pray for me, and that stuck out to me.
I love that story because what I'm thinking as you're sharing it is that God used her very specifically to love you in a very specific situation. And so we're talking about how God can use us very specifically to love the people around us, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to love people who don't know him so that they can know him. So that's just a beautiful example of how he places us in places that we need to be, gives us the words to say, and you experience God's love through her, and you knew that that was God's love when you experienced it through her. So I love that testimony of how God works in us and through us, which ultimately is what we're talking about. So totally relates.
I thought of one other story if we wanted to just quickly, that there's a family that's been coming to church that is a single mom of three kids. They're from Honduras, and over the last couple of years, she's kind of been in and out of Sojourn connected to us, and then we'll kind of, you know, we've just been forming a relationship with her through Sojourn Latino for a little bit. And this past summer, we organized multiple people in our church to help give, they don't have a car, so we were giving the kids rides to VBS, and so we worked out, like, every day of the week, a different person gave them a ride to VBS, and she's also benefited from the Benevolence Fund, and then there have been other people that have gone to, like, meet with her and pray with her, and so just when you were talking about, like, the holistic type of mission or love or care for someone like that, I feel like that's been a really beautiful picture that we continue to pray for her to come to know Jesus. And I think that, like, those are all these little seeds of testimonies and just seeds of love that have been poured into her whole family.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that speaks to a key part of what I want us through this today to think about too, is that sharing the gospel isn't always just, here is a whole gospel presentation of exactly what it means to love and follow Jesus and become a Christian, but here's a bit of the gospel, here's a bit of the gospel, and those are sprinkled throughout our everyday life, our everyday conversations, and that's part of sharing the gospel. It's a ride that's given. It's a few words that get said about something. It's an encouraging someone when they're in a really hard spot. All those things are encompassed in what we're talking about. One other thought before we kind of ask a few more questions is that as we think about this reality that this is God's mission, a really important part of it being God's mission is that we ask him to do the work. Ultimately, he is the one that brings people to himself. Ultimately, he's the one that gives us those words that that person needed in that moment. This is his work that he's doing. And I think prayer is such an easy thing to forget or undervalue, or I'm not sure what we do, but it just feels like accidentally we leave out the most important part. And so as we're thinking about this, prayer is part of the work of what we are doing. It's not like an extra additional part. It is the work. It's incredibly important. I have one more verse for us to read, and it's in John 6:44.
I can read.
Okay, thanks, Jay.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Mm. Okay, great. So no one can come to God unless he draws them. This is God's work that he's drawing. He is drawing people to himself. He's the one that's changing people's hearts. He's the one that's causing the things that we say to make sense to them and allow them to see him and understand who he is through what we are saying. For me, I got to live overseas for a few years after I was in college. And when I was moving overseas because I wanted to tell people about Jesus. And I really wanted to go somewhere where people had never heard about Jesus. I grew up in the U.S. in the South, in a place where everybody goes to church. And so everybody thinks they're a Christian, has some idea of what that means. They're not necessarily, but everybody has some understanding of that. And in my mind, I was like, I'll go to a place where people have never heard about Jesus. I will tell them. They're going to be so excited. They will believe in Jesus. They won't have this illusion that they already know. It wasn't like that at all. I told people about Jesus, and their response would often be something like, oh, that's really great. That reminds me of Buddhism. That reminds me of Hinduism. And internally, I would think, how? What I just said was completely different from that. And granted, I was in a place where I don't speak the language well. I don't understand the culture well. Sometimes that could have been the problem, but that wasn't always the problem. There were other times where I could see, it's like, that's not the only thing that's happening here. Something else is happening. And God just really challenged me through that, that one of the things he had called me to do there was just pray. And I started begging God to work in that place. I think when I lived there, it felt like I am one little Christian in the midst of so many people who don't know Jesus. And I remember just weeping for people to know, like, God, please show them who you are. And as I have thought about that, it actually makes me really sad that that is not how I think about my life in Louisville, Kentucky. It's easy for me to forget that Louisville is not that different. I am surrounded all the time by people who desperately need Jesus, but I don't find myself on my knees weeping over that, begging God to bring people to know him. Why? So that is my challenge to myself and my challenge to all of us. Like, God can and will work, and we have a beautiful invitation to ask him to. And the first and biggest part of this is saying, God, please do the work. Please show me who you have for me to spend time with, to talk to. Please allow people to understand who you are and see who you are. Send me, send other people. Please draw people to yourself. That's a huge part of this that we're talking about. So this is kind of all setting up the foundation here. So we're looking at Jesus. How did Jesus do ministry? We're talking about how it's not just the words that we say, but the life that we live. Prayer is a huge part of this. It's kind of all a foundation for evangelism being part of my everyday life. We've talked a little bit about how our life and our words can go together. As we were talking about that, when we say that we need to be credible messengers for this credible gospel, what makes our life credible? What makes a Christian's life credible when it comes to sharing the gospel? I think I looked up the term credible, and it means believable. Like, what makes this valid and believable? What makes my life valid and believable?
I work at in a manufacturing factory, and it's not it's not always the healthiest place, you know, physically and mentally and emotionally. And it can be stressful and challenging because you have different personalities and people who don't know Christ and people in and someone could react to you in a certain way, and you could react back. But if, you know, when you are in a mindset of that, you're how you respond or your witness, you know, it can be affected on how you respond. So sometimes you'll take a pause because, you know, you've heard those terms of people's like, well, you should be glad I know Jesus, you know. My response would have been different. So that type of thing.
That's good.
Yeah, so.
I like that. Your credible witness is stop and think before before I ask, before I speak. I like it.
I have a family member who I'm very close to who doesn't know Jesus because of God's children demonstrating Jesus in a horrible way that was hurtful. And maintaining the line, not from this super pious, but just the average Joe who loves the Lord, who lives, who, even when I mess up, and, you know, he visually gets to see me repented. He understands the moves I won't make, and I don't condemn him. It's just being authentic to in the same way that I know Christ deals with me on a daily basis. It has been just a powerful piece in just being an example of a recipient of God's love who pours out that same love.
I love that. I mean, a follow-up to my question is, does this mean we have to be perfect? And you're kind of answering that by saying, no, that could actually be hurtful if I'm trying to be perfect. I need to be who I actually am. That does not entail perfection. It entails sometimes repentance and forgiveness. And yeah, I love that. that picture of authenticity and what that communicates. It's good.
I was thinking about the phrase that we say at Sojourn after baptism, or I guess before baptisms, like, because of your belief in the Lord and evidence of a changed life. I think that part of, like, being able to share, this is the way my life was before and this is how Jesus has changed it, makes us credible witnesses. But I don't know if we always get to share that part. Like, sometimes the opportunity lends itself to that and sometimes it doesn't, but the ability to point to Jesus's transformation.
I like that.
For me, I think is like when you're communicating to someone, even though it is someone you don't really know well, that you are loving the person and you're being gentle in your communication. Or even in times you're witnessing, you're not forcing the person to convert, but instead in that moment, you're sharing the gospel, but you're also respecting the person's decision and boundary. So I think in that way, you can show that you are a credible witness of Jesus instead of just forcing your way through.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that seems also like a part of that true holistic love. I do love you and care about you. I'm not trying to manipulate you into saying or doing a certain thing. I sincerely love you and care about you. That's good. Okay, so when we are sharing our faith, often there's kind of two categories to that. There's a, like, maybe I haven't ever met this person before, and so I'm just sharing the gospel in this one chance because this is my one conversation with you. A door has opened up and I'm talking. Then there is this type of evangelism that's very relational. And as I get to know you and spend time with you, I can share who Jesus is in the context of that relationship. People will spend time arguing about which one of those is more effective, more helpful. But the reality is people have come to know Jesus through both of those situations, from people they know, from people they don't know. And the bigger thing is, God, please make me sensitive to when you are giving me an opportunity to talk to you or talk about you, and please help me be courageous to step into that opportunity and share, whether I know somebody, whether I don't know somebody. So as I have a relationship with people, I can share in a very specific way because I know them and I know their story. But also I could find myself in a conversation with someone I don't know and I have a chance to share. It would be sad not to do that because I don't feel like I know you all the way. I can still take that opportunity and share. And it is interesting how God has made all of us differently. I think some people find the, I'm just going to talk about you quickly in this moment, talk to you quickly in this moment, easier. For some people, that's very challenging. The long-term relationship and sharing in that is easier for some people than for others. So we kind of naturally have ways that we operate and things that are easier or harder for us. But one is not the right way. They are different opportunities that God has given us to share. Do you all find yourself leaning more towards one of those than the other? Which feels easier, harder? What would your natural inclination be?
It's kind of both and, I guess. Yeah, like for me, because of what God has done for me, it works both ways. It's that, it's just, I can't describe, it's a desire to love people in a way that they feel God, whether it's in a moment or if we have consistent connections. So both ways, personally, but if you understand my personality, it makes sense. So yeah.
I think for me, when I think about the opportunities to share, because I spend a lot of time at work, and it's the most consistent thing you do every your daily. It's my day-to-day thing. Is those relationships that you build and you're talking to people. You're talking to people about God, or you're getting to know them or what's going on in their lives, and you can talk about God and talk about where they are in their life. But then also, I try to be mindful. Here recently, just asking God to help me to see someone outside of who may need to hear a word from you or to experience love for you, and for me to get out of my own head and my in my own head when I'm coming home from work or going to the grocery store to see people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been one of my prayers, to see people and to mm-hmm. see where if or where you want me to, you know, to be or say.
Yeah.
For me, I think the relational way of sharing the gospel mm-hmm. is easier because you know the person mm-hmm. and you know the right words, or I think you also have more access to talk into their life. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it can be also hard because you have to show that you are a true Christian by loving them mm-hmm. genuinely. And they can see you in your work or whatever you're doing, like your true self. And sometimes you would be like, oh, I gotta show my best self. But sometimes like some of your imperfection would slip out and you would worry about it. But yeah, I think there can be a stressful aspect, but when you entrust that aspect to God, I think you are more free to just be who you are because you're abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say I tend towards the relational way of sharing, but as I was thinking about it and listening to you guys, I think practicing the relational, like sharing within a relationship, has made it easier to share in the moment, because I really think it's a practice thing. And so it's like the more you do it, the more I've found myself in situations where it is like a one-time opportunity and it makes it feel easier to share. And then I think working at the hospital, a lot of times I'll be with patients that I know I'm only going to see this one time and have this one chance. And so I feel like my personality and what I like more is the relational, but maybe the Lord gives more opportunities in the moment. Or I don't know. Yeah, both and, like some of you guys were saying.
I love that. I hear in all of you this like sensitivity to God, what are you asking me to do today? And where are you asking me to talk about you? Where are you asking me to invest? So that's really beautiful to hear. I mean, I think that's the biggest part of what we're talking about is, God, please show me mm-hmm. where you have given me opportunities. Help me be a courageous storyteller in those moments, whatever they are, with people I know, with people I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've talked some previously in other lessons about this idea of circles of influence. So who are the people that my life connects with and makes touch points with? You're talking about that in work. There's mm-hmm. these people that are in your circles of influence. For some of us, as we think about our day-to-day life, being around non-Christians is just normal. I automatically go out and I am surrounded by non-Christians all the time. And then I think for others of us, it's easy to stop and consider, oh, well, somehow I have actually created kind of a Christian bubble around myself and I'm not around non-Christians that much. That's not always intentional or that you're doing something wrong. There are different life seasons that place us in different situations. So one part of what we're talking about is we have to actually be around non-Christians in some form or fashion. And if you happen to have one of those lives where that's just not naturally what is happening, you're not naturally coming in contact with people, that can be a starting point to think, what could I do to change that? It doesn't have to be a big change, but what would be a little way that I would start actually being around people who are not Christians? Sometimes that is, oh, my neighbors, my coworkers, my classmates aren't Christians. I'm just not actually taking the time to like get to know them or see that. So how could I get to know my neighbors, my classmates, my coworkers more? Sometimes it could be, what's something I like doing? And could I do that with people that are not Christians? So if I like to run, could I join a run club where there are going to be people that aren't Christians and we'll talk while we run? If I like to read, maybe I could join a book club and read books with people that are not Christians. Thinking about taking something you might already be doing, is there a way you could do that with people that are not Christians? It could mean I go to a coffee shop, I'm going to actually go to the same one every time and talk to the people that are also always there, whether it's the workers, the other people that are there, coffee shops, restaurants, bookstores. Are there places that you go that you could just be a more intentional presence there and get to know people? I'm a stay-at-home mom, so my life tends to be a little bit more insular. And when my kids were really small, that looked like library story time for me. And I used to joke that library story time was my ministry. So a lot of the moms at library story time aren't Christians. My kid wants to go to library story time anyways, so we go. And I can look for opportunities to talk to the other moms. And to be honest, a lot of the time, the other moms didn't necessarily want to talk or want to get to know me well. So it was me going as an intentional presence. But I did have a situation where there was a friend that I met there. And as I got to know her, she was from another country. Her husband was an American. They had just recently moved back to the States for him to work and go to school. They had one car. And so she is often at home with her toddler, living in a very small radius because her husband has the car. And we started spending time together. Some of my other Sojourn friends also came to story time. So we started inviting her to do things with us, so that like corporate witness part. And then the thing that made the difference in my relationship with her was that she got pregnant, she had another baby, and I offered to bring her food. And she was just blown away by that. She's like, you want to bring me dinner? You also have little kids. And I was like, well, yes, but one of my little kids, like, they're not newborns anymore, and I'm going to make dinner. So can I make more dinner and bring it to you? And I got to go to her home and spend time with her. And she kept questioning that, why are you bringing me dinner? And I could say, my friends at my church do that for me when I need it, and it's been so helpful, so I would love to do that for you. And over time, she ended up coming to Sojourn on Sundays and joining our community group. And it came from trying to get to know some moms at story time. So you just never know what opportunities are in front of you. And taking those small steps towards non-believers can lead to that. So as we're getting to know non-believers, we want to listen. I think a huge way to move those relationships from just, hey, to having opportunities to share is by listening, asking curious questions, getting to know them, hearing their stories, so that, Jay, like you were saying, you can share the gospel with them in really specific ways because you actually know their heart, their story. How can I help them see how God can make a difference in their life? So we find ways to get to know them. We listen. We're intentional. We ask questions. Hospitality can be another huge part of that, just opening up our homes and our lives to people. The Christian version of hospitality is not that I have to have a perfectly clean house and a gourmet meal on the table and flowers and all this stuff. It is a just welcoming in. I have two books I really like. If you wanted to think about that, read about that some other time. One is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and it's by Rosaria Butterfield. The other one is called A Meal with Jesus by Tim Chester. And they, in different ways, talk about how inviting people into our everyday life, sharing meals with them, inviting them into our homes is gospel work. There's a lot of gospel work that happens in just eating together, spending time together. And then the other thing that I think we talked about practicing, Alex was saying practicing sharing in relationships helps her in situations where you don't have a relationship with someone, is just thinking about, what does my everyday conversation sound like? Mm-hmm. Is God part of my everyday conversation? The most important thing about me is I am God's daughter. Yeah. That changes everything about my life. But is that what comes out of my mouth when I am talking? And make that part of our everyday conversation. God is part of our everyday conversation. For me, that does happen when I'm around you all, when I'm around my friends that are Christians. I am happy to tell you how God showed me this, how he led me to this, all these different things that God has done. And then suddenly when I'm around someone who's not a Christian, it's like I'm thinking, how could I say that without talking about God? And I'm almost purposely extracting him from the conversation because I think they won't understand the God part. And I am missing the most crucial opportunity that God gave me. Just keep talking that same way and allow them to see and hear the God that's inside of me that is making a difference in my life by talking the way I always talk. This is a part of who I am. I need to let the people who are not Christians see that, hear that, be a part of what I am saying to them. What is a way you've seen an everyday conversation open a door for spiritual engagement with somebody else? Does anybody have a good example?
have one of my favorites, because I'm always running into people. Hey, how you doing? Or how you doing? You doing all right? And people, I deal with a lot of construction workers. So it's, well, I woke up on this side of the dirt, so I guess I'm doing all right. And then I would follow up. Man, waking up with Jesus wouldn't be a bad day, though. And then it reframes the whole conversation. Because they're like, what do you mean? Or, you know, it's Monday and they're coming off of, oh, man, you're right. Like, so, and but it invites this non-confrontational conversation about, or reframes a person's mind to be like, well, why would I want to wake up with Jesus? And then you can say, hey, well, here's why I want to. And or it's a reminder, man, I needed to be reminded of that, you know. So that's my favorite one.
I love that. I was just saying, I'm always afraid about what someone will think, or if it'll just, you jump in and you say the thing. It's perfect.
I go to the same nail place. I've been going there for like 5 years at this point, and it's a family of a mom, two daughters, and their best friend, and the four of them work there. I've been going for that long. My sister's been going. We've invited like multiple friends that go, not all at the same time, like all go at different times. And at different times I've felt like more burdened to share the gospel, and other times I feel kind of, I think you said the word idle, or just sort of like a little more apathetic, I guess. And there was one day where I did not pray on my way there that I would have a gospel conversation. I wasn't thinking about it. I was just like, I need to get in and out because I got stuff to do. And she said, she's like, they're very gossipy at this nail salon. They love to just know all about your business and all about everybody else's business. And she was talking about something and made some offhanded comment about like, but I'm probably going to hell for that. And I was like, oh. Well, here's an open door. And I was like, what do you mean? And like, we just started talking about hell and heaven. And like, just, I was asking her some questions because they're all Buddhist, but they're not really practicing Buddhism. And so I was like, what does heaven look like in Buddhism? Whatever. And so it just opened up this conversation, and we ended up, I shared the gospel with her, and she had some good questions, and that just felt like this everyday conversation that I wasn't expecting, or I wasn't praying about, but the Lord was just like, here you go, you know.
That's awesome.
And I said something like, she was talking, she said the like hell comment, and then I said something like, she was talking about being in Vietnam and how she had all of these Christians that were like trying to shove the Bible down her throat or something, like made a comment like that. But I said something to her like, you know I'm a Christian, right? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I was like, well I don't really believe that. And yeah, I like shared what I believe. But it, because we had built that relationship, I felt comfortable saying that to her. But it also felt like just an offhanded or like a in the moment opportunity that I wasn't expecting.
For me, well, whenever I talk to someone, I ask them how they're doing. And then sometimes they share something like, something that's troubling them, or like a problem that they have in their life, and I would just say, can I pray for you? And then when they say yes, I would pray for them, and while praying I'll put in the gospel in that prayer. And they would be hearing the gospel truth through the prayer that I'm saying. And I think that was one of a easy way for me to share the gospel and also pray for them.
It's really encouraging to hear you all sharing your experiences of sharing, of praying, of allowing the gospel to be part of your everyday life and what that looks like. And I just think it's really neat to continue to hear different people's life and context and circles of influence and how God positions us to speak, to share, to love, to be part of people knowing him. So I'm going to encourage us to keep doing that. Keep talking, keep taking those opportunities, keep being bold with the gospel, keep loving the people around you. People do see that, they know that, they observe. Could I pray for us as we close out? God, thank you so much for the work that you are doing. God, thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be part of your mission. God, give us hearts that are open to see the ways that you are working, to see the opportunities you're giving us. Continue to give us boldness to step in. Continue to just remind us of how much you love us, how much you love the people around us. In your name I pray. Amen.